You know, we're singing that last song, and I'm thinking about a commercial that comes on the television from Southern New Hampshire University. What's that? That's it. That's the place. Okay. Now, at the end of it, there's these three things. This comes up. I say this. The guy says, when you say impossible, I think. Okay. And I don't know what he says. That won't come to me. But I'll tell you what. When you tell me something's impossible, you know what I think? God. Because as the song reminds us, he is unstoppable. And with God, all things are possible. Keep your eyes open. Miracles are coming. Now, last week, we began our study of, I think it's the 11th book from the Bible. We are now studying in the book of Joshua. Moses, who had been Israel's leader for 40 years, was dead and buried. Joshua, who had served through all that time as Moses' assistant, had been called by God to lead Israel into the promised land. Last week, we heard God's call to Joshua and through Joshua to the nation of Israel. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Four times, God called Joshua to be strong and to be courageous. Four times. All Israel needed to do was trust God and follow the leader. They needed to stand firm in their trust of God, and if they did, they would receive God's blessing, the promised land. So there they sat on the east side of the Jordan River, ready to move forward and receive the blessing that God had in store for them. But just on the other side of the river was the first great obstacle in their way, Jericho. Jericho was a great fortified city-state. It was independent and it was strong. The walls of that city were so thick that people built their houses in them. And the king was wise and seasoned in battle. And there it sat. Right across the river was Jericho. From the beginning, God would put them to the test. Would they move forward according to God's plan, or would they turn back as they had done 40 years before and deny themselves the blessing God had in store? Would they be strong and courageous? Or would they melt in fear at that which awaited them just across the river in the promised land? From the safety of the east side of the river, in a place called Shittim, Joshua, the new leader of Israel, decided to send spies into the land to check out the obstacle, Jericho. Lesson number one for today, it's okay to check out the land. Sometimes, folks, it is just better to slow down and trust God than it is to rush forward and make a horrible mistake. So Joshua picked two men to go and spy out Jericho. Two men. He was one of 12 chosen almost 40 years before to go into the promised land, the land promised by God, to see what it was like. 10 of the 12 reported that it was impossible for Israel to prevail over the nations which already inhabit the land God had promised to them. Only two men, Caleb and Joshua. Yep, the very Joshua who is now the leader of the nation of Israel. Only two men said that if God is for us, no one can stand against us. Only they were strong and courageous enough to urge the nation to move forward slowly according to the plan of God, and to be strong and to be courageous. But the people listened to the majority report. They turned away in fear. And the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they failed to be strong and courageous. Lesson number two for today: the majority ain't always right. But Joshua remembered that day. And in the memory of that day, when it came his turn, he picked two faithful men to spy out Jericho. Lesson number three: a wise man seeks the counsel of God, considers the situation carefully, and learns from his mistakes. So Joshua sent only two faithful men, not 12. And when the spies reached the gates of the city of Jericho, they went to a house of prostitution, which belonged to a woman named Rahab. Now, I just want to point this out to you so you don't make a mistake here. If you are the lady who owns the house of prostitution, you are the madam. It was a good place for the spies to go because lots of guys were going there. And people would not think it strange if some strangers showed up in the house of a prostitute. It wouldn't seem suspicious. And the house of Rahab happened to be close to the city gate and was built in to the city wall. But the king of Jericho, I already told you, he's a wise and battle-seasoned warrior. He was already on guard. See, he could look across that way. He could look across to the east side of the river. And he could see the nation of Israel gathering on that side of the river. He had heard of their successful military campaigns and of their crossing of the Red Sea, things which had happened 40 years before. So the guards at the city gate were told to watch. And when they saw the spies enter the city, they reported to the king where the spies had gone: into the house of Madam Rahab. The king sent soldiers to Rahab, ordering her to turn the spies over to him immediately. But Rahab hid the spies on a roof deck. She told the king that the spies had been there, but they had left at dusk when it was time to close the city gates. She told the soldiers the king had sent that if they hurried, they might catch up with the spies, but she could be of no further assistance to them because she didn't know in which direction the spies had gone. So the soldiers took off, hoping to catch the spies. Rahab then spoke to the spies. She told them that the people of Jericho were melting in fear as they looked at Israel gathered on the other side of the Jordan. She told them that the people of Jericho melted in fear before Israel, and it was exactly what those spies needed to hear. It was the reason that Israel could remain strong and courageous despite the great obstacle on the other side of the river, because the people of Jericho were already defeated in their own minds. Lesson number four: don't you dare lose faith. God has a plan. And get ready now, don't miss your point. If God is for us, who can stand against us?
No one.
Rahab then asked the spies to protect her and her family as she had protected them. And they assured her that God would protect her and reward her for her faithfulness to him and to Israel. They gave her a scarlet cord, and they told it to tie her it in her window, and that that scarlet cord would bring her and her family salvation. Now you hear me. That scarlet cord, which they gave to Rahab to tie in her window, is the scarlet cord of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is found from one end of the Bible to the other. It is the scarlet cord, the blood of Jesus, which saves each of us even here and now. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved, only Jesus. Only the scarlet cord, which is Jesus Christ, can set us free and save us from death. Save us, just as it saved Rahab, the prostitute. She then helped the spies escape from the city of Jericho by letting them climb down a rope from her window of her house. It was in the city wall. Lesson number 5. God uses whom God chooses. If he chooses to work through a prostitute named Rahab, he can work through a prostitute named Rahab. Just for the record, she was the great-great-great-grandmother of King David, from whom Jesus was descended. God uses whom God chooses. 3 days later, folks. Are you catching it? How many days later?
Three
days later. The spies made their report to Joshua. They said, "Surely," meaning without doubt, "God has given us the land. Do not lose hope." Lesson number 6, be strong and courageous. God has a plan, and it is a plan which will bring us hope and a future. And if God is for us, folks, who can stand against us?